The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." "And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy." Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. The Gospel of the Lord. So, an interesting line, the opening line in the Gospel this morning. Mary has just recently been told that she's going to be the Mother of God. Now, if you or I were told that, we'd be pretty excited, wouldn't we? And we'd probably hire a PR agent, and we would really spread it everywhere, and we say, "Hey, look at me! I'm going to be the mother of God." You know, fantastic. But not Mary. We're told she left, and went in haste to the hill country to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And so, just to fill in a little of the background of the gospel for you this morning, the journey for Mary would have taken about 4 days to go from where she lived, Nazareth, to Ain Karim. And if you've been to the Holy Land, and you go to that little village, which is about 8 miles outside Jerusalem, you'll see two churches there. There's one church on the house where Zechariah and Mary lived, and there's another house where Mary and Elizabeth met. And it's the only incidents we have in the gospel, strange to say, of two women in conversation. Can you imagine that? Interesting point. Some smiled and some scowled. Anyhow, so it's the only... And now, why did Mary go there? Why didn't she go to Zechariah's house? That's a good question. Because in those days, when a woman became pregnant, she left her normal home and she went to a special house. And in Ain Karim, there was a special house where somebody pregnant would go. And this, because she wouldn't be seen again in public, she would live more or less in seclusion. And in this special house, only women were allowed to visit, no men, because men would not understand what a woman was going through when she was expecting a child. And so men were not allowed to visit there. It was a lovely custom, really. And that's where Mary met Elizabeth. But Elizabeth, Mary, were told, spent about 3 months there. You kind of wonder what they were talking about and chatting about. And unfortunately, we don't know anything about that. And and other women would come, you know, also to visit and make sure that Elizabeth was well looked after and well looked after and cared for. And after she gave birth to her child, she would rest there for some time until she was strong and had recovered her strength. And then she'd go home with her new little child. And it was all done very, very nicely and in a very loving and caring way. Caring. And so Mary was very, in a very human way. Very, very human. We say, when we see the human side of Mary, which is beautiful, and the caring side. And when we look around the world today, isn't that a big lack? No? How inhumane our world has become in so many ways, and how people are treated to today, and little children being snatched from their parents. And we live here in one of the richest countries in the whole world, and there's fear of those terrible immigrants. That's, you know, and you can't really be a true Christian and contribute to that kind of thinking. It's just inhumane. And there's so much anger and fear out there today. And in the last week, I encountered a lot of that anger. Now, I have to say, anger is not a bad thing. Anger is a perfectly normal human emotion. And if you never felt angry, you wouldn't be alive. That, you know, and anger is a normal, perfect human emotion. It's what you do with that anger that really matters. And so I encountered many people during the week. We had many reconciliation services, and I helped in different churches. And I heard a lot of confessions this week, and also talking to people. Many of you here at Mass this morning, you're angry. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. You have a right to be angry. You're angry, people are angry with what is happening in the government and the administration at the moment, all the fighting and so on. And very, very angry with the church. Very angry with the church. And going back over the last week, we had the resignation of one of the auxiliary bishops here in Los Angeles. And then we find out that accusation was there for many, 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 many years. And again, we're left wondering, well, why was that allowed to go on? And we're angry about the lack of accountability. And personally, what do we do with that anger? Well, anger has got to be shared. If you keep anger pent up within yourself, somehow or other, it's going to affect your whole life. You're going to be an angry person, and you're like a time bomb. You're going to explode someday. A good example of pent up anger is if you have a pan on the stove and it's pretty full and you keep the lid pressed down and you release the pressure on the lid, what happens? Phew! And that happens in so many families, it's happening in society. People are on a very short fuse, and you only need to touch that button and psoom, and it's so. How do I feel? Well, how does it affect me as a priest? Well, when I read, first of all, I love little children, and I just cannot imagine how anybody could break that trust of a little child. Children are beautiful and are a gift from God. A gift from God. And how anybody can take that child and abuse them in any way, or a vulnerable person. And when I read about some of the things that are done, and by, you know, not by priests and by bishops, and also by lay people, but I'm concerned at the moment about those within the church. How does it affect me? It affects me in many ways. I feel very embarrassed. I feel, even though, and I've never, thank God, done anything like that, I feel there's a finger of suspicion pointing at me. It's a horrible thing. Where I live, there's three lovely little children living next door to me. And they come and they wanted to show me they had new socks, and they said, look at my new socks, and so on. And I feel so uncomfortable. You know, I want their parents to make sure their parents are there. I don't want to be found talking to them on my own. It's sad. That's how we are today. And I feel, you know, when I walk down the street and I'm wearing my collar, it's a horrible, horrible feeling. And people look at me and they think, oh, he's a priest, and I wonder what he has done. That's where we got to today. It's very sad. And then yourself, you. If some of you are angry about that, and I know you are, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And also, I want to thank you for being here, for your commitment and your loyalty, and the fact that you still keep coming. Thank you for doing that, because we need your support. I need your support, and you need my support, and I'm with you. And if any one of you, and I'm sure there's people here, if anybody here in this church, if you have ever been abused, I do, to the best of my ability, understand what you're going through, because it's a horrible thing, and it's something, as long as you live, you'll live with the pain of that, because I've met many, many people, and especially women, who have been abused, and it ruins their life. They suffer all their life. It's the most horrible, horrible thing that can happen to anybody, any person, and particularly any woman. And I want to say to you that if any of you feel angry about those things, I'm available to you. You can come and share that anger with me. I'll respect you for it. I will respect you for it. I won't in any way judge you. But if you feel it would be beneficial to share, please do. How do I feel about, I'll probably be excommunicated for saying these things, but you know, I'd be excommunicated in a good cause. This coming February, there's going to be another meeting in Rome of all the presidents and vice presidents of the Conference of Bishops without the world, throughout the world. So we're going to have bishops flying in from all over the world to have another discussion in Rome about the sexual abuse happening in our church. Do you think that'll do any good or achieve anything? And I think, look at all the money that's costing. If you add up all those airfares, look at what you could do with that money. And that's how I think. I might be excommunicated for saying that, but you know, it's how I feel. And then we'll be, you know, given another apology and so on. Or we're we're sorry. We need to do more than say we're sorry. There has to be accountability. There has to be accountability. And no cover-up and hiding it, pushing it under the carpet and hoping it will go away, because it won't. It will not go away until we stand up and become accountable and so on. And, you know, but I feel after all the things that have happened in the last week and on the news and on the newspapers and so on, I didn't feel I could come here this morning and just, you know, give a normal homily and so on. And I'm sorry, it was sad coming up to Christmas that all these things are happening. But you know, God loves us and God will care for us. And I know and I believe in my heart and soul that eventually all will be well. But we're going through a difficult time at the moment, and we've got to hang in there. We've got to support one another and be there for one another, just as Mary was there for Elizabeth. And that's how my train of thought this week. There was Mary, a pregnant little girl, probably 14, 15 years of age, caring for her older cousin and there for Elizabeth. If ever we needed to be there for one another, we need it at the present time. Amen. Amen. Thanks.